Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Welcome to Reasonable Doubt, Adam Carolla, Mark Garagus, or Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, I should say. Mark, you're dressed up. You're in court.
I was in court all morning, took the tie off to see you, and quite a lot going on this morning. You know, at first I thought we would be talking about Steve Bannon. Then I thought maybe we'd be talking about Brian Laundrie. And then now it's obvious to me, at least, that the legal topic du jour is Alec Baldwin in the desert.
Yeah. Now, he fired a prop gun, which evidently was a real gun that had a real bullet in it. Is that how much we know so far?
So far, what we know is this very promising cinematographer who I've actually heard of. I have a friend who's in that world, and she was killed. The director was injured, apparently been left was out of the hospital. There's pictures circulating on the internet of Alec Baldwin in a distraught situation. And apparently he was on the scene. He's a producer doing a story about a 13-year-old, the grandfather of a 13-year-old who accidentally killed somebody. And the question now is, there's already been in the last couple of hours reports that both the New Mexico DA, who has jurisdiction here, the local sheriff, are doing an investigation and are not ruling out anything. One of the first things, and I'll get your reaction, but one of the first things that kind of came to mind is, if it is, you know, there, I remember almost 20 years ago, Brandon Lee, the son of the famous martial artist, was killed by a prop gun.
Yeah. Let me correct you. Almost 30 years ago, if you want to feel old.
Jeez.
That was 93.
Wow. Yeah. Seems recent. I thought they'd put in protocols that would never allow this to happen again. I thought the same thing about, you know, remember the Twilight Zone prosecution here in Los Angeles with John Landis.
And the helicopter, yeah.
And the helicopter.
Moral. Right.
Now, this one, what's peculiar to me in this, and I'm sure they're asking the questions, is this was not another actor. So it wasn't like it was somebody with the gun who was acting, who was shooting, and then another actor got killed. This was the cinematographer and the director, which I'm sure there are, well, I'm not positive, but that's what I would imagine they're going to be saying. Why did Alec Baldwin have a gun with a live round in it, not a blank? And why was it being fired in the direction of the cinematographer and the director, as opposed to being used in a scene with another actor?
I was also trying to figure out how, I mean, early reports, and they're always screwed up, but the cinematographer was killed and the director was in grave condition or critical condition. And I thought, well, how is it that one shot could essentially almost kill and almost kill two human beings? I don't know. I don't know if there's any clarity on this. I don't know if it was a shotgun or something that could have spread out. I haven't heard what kind of weapon it was.
That hasn't been released to my knowledge, but yeah, I mean, I was talking about this with some of the other producers around here this morning, trying to wrap my head around it, and Matt Fondelier posited that, you know, I guess there could be a shooting down the barrel scene, and the cinematographer is right by the camera, and the director's over her shoulder. That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. I mean, I was saying to Mark on an email, last night I thought this was tragic, and I thought it was really weird that there were two people injured, because that just doesn't seem right, and then this morning to hear that they were who they were. That seems off.
Well, I think the theory of the shooting, you know, filming.
Yeah, down the barrel
kind of look. And if anyone's been on movie sets, you'll find that the DP, the director of photography, and the director are always sometimes almost huddled together, almost tandem, trying to look through the lens of the viewfinder together. Sometimes they're both together at a place called Video Village, which is, you know, the place where they'll put the monitors and everyone will be. But either way, the theory that the director and the DP were in very close proximity to one another, that makes utter sense. it also makes sense that if somebody was shot, a bullet could pass through a human being and enter partially another person. I mean, bullets, they're strewing through bullet wounds, you know, all the time if it passed through.
And a bullet can hit and then we hit one person, can ricochet off and go through. And so, yeah, it's not like it's a laser type precision. I mean, the bullets are bullets.
Right. So it would make sense that if the two were really in close proximity to one another and one bullet was fired, there's a way to do it. I think if you go back and look at some of the official particulars from the Kennedy assassination, you'll see some ricochet action where other people in the car were hit by bullets that went through somebody and then changed the trajectory and so on and so forth. It's exquisitely sad. I don't see any legal or financial opportunities, or I shouldn't say opportunities, but exposure for Alec Baldwin here whatsoever. I mean, as long as we're on the subject of legalities.
Well, actually, the cinematographer's family and the director's family both have clear civil claims. And the question is, and what I'm sure that the sheriff, like I said, I'm never sure, but if they're doing a competent job, what the sheriff and the DA are looking at is, how did we get a live round into this gun, whatever kind of gun it was? How did they not adhere to protocols that post Brandon Lee have been instituted in almost all situations? And if they weren't adhered to that, then there's a question, even if it's a completely accidental and tragic shooting, which clearly by all indications, it seems that it would, there still potentially is criminal liability for involuntary manslaughter, not necessarily against Alec Baldwin, but somebody else in the chain of handling the gun potentially. And I'm sure they're looking at that. That's one of the reasons you've got the criminal investigation. And civilly, there clearly is going to be the insurance company, I will guarantee you, has already got somebody on site, an adjuster on site, an investigative team on site, because there will be a claim of some kind that is made, obviously, for whoever was negligent, or the film, or the kind of the negligence in having a live round in a prop gun on a set. I mean, that's just one of the verboten situations. You never have a live round anywhere near a prop gun.
Yeah, the bigger question too is, why are the live rounds even on the set? What is the possible application for that? Why would you even need that? Now, I don't know enough about it, but are people taking a live round and removing the slug from the live round to get the blank effect?
If they're doing that, that sure seems like cutting corners, because clearly the state of the art and technology today, you don't need to do that. That's kind of that's a very, very old school approach, which has pretty much been written out of the protocols post, as I'm taking you at your word that it was 1993, since my memory is, it seems so recent, but the fact is that the protocols that you're supposed to adhere to as a prop master clearly say that you're never supposed to cross that line.
Well, let's not forget the great upcoming model / actor, Eric Hexum, or was it John Hexum? Eric Hexum.
Eric.
Who famously took a pistol with a blank in it and put it to his head on set and squeezed the trigger and was killed without a projectile. But it was the concussion from the blank.
I think that's correct. And a close touching, it's tragic. And I don't understand why. I understand that people always want it for the realism or things like that. But, you know, we've reached the point where artistically and visually and technologically, you don't need that anymore. I mean, you can do things. There are substitutes for that. So it just seems to me to be somewhat reckless to be going down that path. But let's wait and see what the facts are in this.
I have an update here.
Update.
Adam, right as always, He was John Eric Hexum, but all of the headlines refer to him as Eric Hexum.
Eric Hexum. Yeah. Model.
And he, after his death, this is an interesting little fun fact, his heart was given to Michael Washington, a Vietnam War hero who also owned an infamous escort service known as Swinging Susie's in Las Vegas.
Wow. Not even I roll that deep. But I can tell you a vivid memory of a 8-year-old Adam Carolla was going on the Universal Studios tour long before they had, you know, the wild rides and, you know, Harry Potter's world and all the pomp and circumstance. It was literally just go on a tour and they'd go, that's Columbo's car over there. And you'd see some beat up car and they go, there's a picture. There's where I Love Lucy filmed, you know, like there was nothing going on. Just driving. All they had was this sort of Old West shootout thing, you know, at the end. But I do vividly remember this. The guy who was, you know, one of the stuntmen in like the Old West or whatever, he said, you know, just because these guns have blanks in them doesn't mean they're not powerful. And he took a empty aluminum can, like a Coors beer can from the 70s. And he held it in one hand and he took the gun and he put the barrel up against it and he fired the blank and it shredded the can. Now, it's a little bit of a parlor trick because, you know, aluminum is pretty lightweight and stuff. But it made me at age 8 realize this is still a powerful thing that could definitely cause damage, even though there's not a projectile in it. Mark, for a change, I'm the one who has to run and fly to my next appointment.
Well, real fast, Adam, I wanted to show you something. Mark has changed professions. You'll see here that he is on the news, branded as the Reasonable Doubt podcast co-host. He is no longer a lawyer. Reasonable Doubt podcast co-host.
Adam has completely changed the trajectory of my career. Adam, I owe it all to Adam Carolla.
He's on Team Fox now. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the live shows. What do you got, Mark?
Oh, well, we've got the V. Go down to Palm Springs, Gigi's Restaurant. Stop by. If you mention Reasonable Doubt, they'll give you something. Go by the Naya Restaurant in the Hamptons, downtown to 10E or Engine Company 28 or out at LAX. And if you're in or anywhere near San Clemente, Gary's favorite spot, Casa Tropicana.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.